Welcome back for the third hour of Issues Etc. We're going to be playing a little Name That Church Body. We want you to hear this piece of audio we're going to play for you here in the next hour. Over the next hour, we're going to play a little piece for you, and we want you to name that church body. Just essentially tell us, who is this? Not who is the person speaking, that would be impossible, but what church body are they speaking for? It's called Name That Church Body. It's been a long time since we played. It's Audio Open Lines, Issues Etc. here in the third hour of the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back. Our call-in numbers, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. And we know that many listen on the internet. IssuesETC@KFUO.org is our in-studio email address. Now, when we usually play these kind of things like Soundbite of the Week, or in this case, Name That Church Body, if you're going to email us with an answer, and we know it takes some time to think it through and to formulate an email, you actually have to sit down and type something up. Try and email us as early as possible so we can get your answer to the question, or your answer to what church body is being spoken for. Now, if it's a Christian leader, we want denomination. So name the church body and be ready to tell us why that's your guess. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We're coming to you live this Tuesday, the 19th of June. And our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Here's our soundbite. Name that church body.
The fullness of the gospel is once again here for the people. That, in a nutshell, would be our message. It's absolutely centered in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is everything to us. We are his children. He loves us. And he has a great plan for us.
All right. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Name that church body. What is this? I mean, you got a lot of choices to choose from. And this is a fairly highly placed leader in this church body talking about what it is his church body believes. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Charlie, cue that one up one more time, the same soundbite, if you would, because I know when you hear it the first time, you're just kind of trying to keep up with what's being said, looking for clues, looking for any kind of indication. Let's listen to it again as we wait for your phone calls and your email, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Name that church body.
The fullness of the gospel is once again here for the people. That, in a nutshell, would be our message. It's absolutely centered in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is everything to us. We are his children. He loves us. And he has a great plan for us.
Now, a few things you might have heard in there. I'm just going to point them out for you. He talked about the gospel. He talked about Jesus Christ. He says we're all about Jesus Christ. He talked about the love of God and God's wonderful plan for us. Can you name that church body? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. It's Audio Open Lines. We're playing Name That Church Body. We finished a conversation earlier in the program on worship. Actually, it turned out to be a great conversation with Dr. Stephen Mueller of Concordia University in Irvine, California. If it piqued your interest in Christian worship, there's another resource I want to tell you about. It's the Good Shepherd Institute. It's November the 4th through the 6th on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. It's an institute, a conference, if you will, for both lay people and pastors, and it focuses entirely on Christ-centered, cross-focused worship and church music. It's November the 4th through the 6th. For more information on the Good Shepherd Institute, all the details, a way to register, and what it's all about, go to our website, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org, or give them a call, area code 260-452-2100, 260-452-2100. It's the Good Shepherd Institute at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. All right, now don't be embarrassed. Although there is a right answer, the game really runs on your guesses. And everybody's except, I mean, I know who it is, of course, but and what church body we're talking about. But the rest of you, we're asking for you to listen carefully and then name that church body. Your best guess, your educated guess, and why. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Or issue ZTC at KFUO.org. Listen and name that church body.
The fullness of the gospel is once again here for the people. That, in a nutshell, would be our message. It's absolutely centered in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is everything to us. We are his children. He loves us. And he has a great plan for us.
Now, I will tell you, this is taken from a longer piece of audio. We chose this because it seemed to be, at least from this church leader's perspective, the essence. It was actually in answer to a question, what's the essence of your church body's beliefs? And we didn't fiddle with this. And we didn't toy with it at all. I think we might have cut out one or two words because, after all, it wouldn't be a game if we gave it away. So can you name that church body? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us here in the studio this Tuesday, the 19th of June, issues ETC at KFUO.org. Let's start with Chris, who's calling from his car.
Well,
hi, Chris.
I wanted to know if it was Lutheran or non-Lutheran, but I guess I'm not even going to get that out of you guys. It sounded like S.C. Sproul, but that's a huge stretch for issues ETC, I guess.
Okay, now, so what church body are you guessing here?
Ligonier Ministries, R.C. Sproul.
Okay, it was not R.C. Sproul, by the way, although the voice might sound the same. Why, what in the soundbite?
I just really went off of his voice. I didn't even quite go off of the context of what he was saying.
Okay, so you were just going from the sound of the voice.
Yeah.
All right. Chris, thank you very much. Listen to what's being said carefully, the words that are used, and give us a call, tell us, and name that church body and why. Roy's calling from his car. Hi, Roy.
Hi, Pastor. I'm going to guess, a lot of churches came to mind. It could be a lot of them, but I'm going to guess the Mormons.
All right. And why?
And the reason is because there's no specifics about what the gospel is. God loves us, or Jesus loves us. What is the gospel? What did Jesus do? You know, he didn't tell us any of that. He didn't get to why we follow Jesus. I mean, there's just no specifics at all. And you know, they can sound pretty Christian.
Roy, thank you very much. So, Roy notes in the lack of specifics, perhaps what he thinks is a bent toward Mormonism. What about the rest of you? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Our first caller says it might be Ligonier Ministries, R.C. Sproul. Roy says maybe Mormonism. Anyone else want to name that church body? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Karen is up next calling from her car. Hi, Karen.
Yeah, Todd, it could be almost any evangelical one by not mentioning the crucifixion and a sacrificial death for our sins, but I kind of go with that other guy that it could be Mormon. They love to say that they believe in Jesus and he's just wonderful. So I was going to go with the Mormons.
So you're going with the non-specific angle here as the basis of your guess here.
Yeah.
All right.
Like I said, there's a lot of evangelicals that could fit that, but let me go with that.
All right, Karen, thank you very much. So that's two votes for Mormon. Gary's calling from his car. Gary, welcome.
Oh, I'll vote Mormon, too. I go with the words that he was saying right at the start there. The fullness of the gospel is now available. Sounds a lot like the Mormon missionaries that stop and talk to me.
All right, Gary. So it sounds familiar in Gary's perspective. Let's listen to it again. I want everybody to listen, and I want everybody to give us a call and name that church body. Be ready to tell us what you heard there that is the basis of your guess. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. We'll get to this one more time. Our in-studio email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org.
The fullness of the gospel is once again here for the people. That, in a nutshell, would be our message. It's absolutely centered in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is everything to us. We are his children. He loves us. And he has a great plan for us.
Anybody else got a guess? Name that church body, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or issuesetc@kfuo.org. Now, the people who've called so far have an idea of why we play this game, Name That Church Body. In fact, the last caller, Karen, said it could just be about any evangelical, because it sounds kind of generic in that sense. The words like gospel, Jesus, love of God, children of God, are all kind of generic concepts that fit just about any generic evangelical. Want to name that church body? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Listening in Pennsylvania, Jan. Okay, well, I'll wait for Jan in just a moment. Oh, she says, I think it's the Mormons. And her reason? Because the speaker stressed the fullness of the gospel and the phrase, plan for our life. That phrase, plan for our life, is a phrase that the Latter-day Saint missionaries use when they visited us in our home. So Jan, like Gary, says it sounds an awful lot like the elders when they come knocking at the door. Anyone else? 505-7850-1-800-730-2727. Steve in Iowa says, I think it's the United Pentecostal Church. His reason? Jesus only people. Now, Jesus was mentioned. The gospel is mentioned. You got track three again there for us? Let's listen to it one more time. I'm not going to hold you in suspense forever, but I do want everybody to hear it one more time. Name that church body.
The fullness of the gospel is once again here for the people. That, in a nutshell, would be our message. It's absolutely centered in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is everything to us. We are his children. He loves us. And he has a great plan for us.
Let's go to Steve calling from his car. Steve, welcome. Hey, Steve, welcome.
Hi. I was thinking Pentecostal also.
Why is that?
Fullness of the gospel, that's a big thing. It's here once again, Day of Pentecost, Pentecostalism. God, Jesus loves us, and I don't think you hear so much Mormonism's talk about that as much. And also, what was the third comment? Having a purpose for the life seems very much like an evangelical thing. God loves you and has a purpose for your life. So I was thinking more Pentecostal.
All right, Steve, thank you very much. Steve has been thinking it through here for the last few minutes. You know, I'm listening to this, and this is not a hint, by the way, but I'm listening to this. Remember the four spiritual laws? Are there still only four spiritual laws? I know we have 10 commandments. But somewhere along the line, Bill Bright decided to add four spiritual laws to them. And they're something like, we're sinners, we need a Savior, God loves you, and has a wonderful plan for your life. I might not have got all four in there, but, you know, if he can come up with four, I can come up with three. But I remember talking about the four spiritual laws, Bill Bright's Campus Crusade for Christ stuff, and one of the things that just jumped out at me is God's wonderful plan for my life. And one of our callers, when we were talking about it, said, I wonder how those would fly in the third century church where Christians, where God's wonderful plan for their life was to die in the Colosseum. Wouldn't go so well. But, you know, everybody's doing this. Remember when Rick Warren came out with The Purpose-Driven Life? Suddenly every preacher practically inserted the word purpose. It had to be mentioned at least three or four times in all of their discourse and their writing. The word purpose became the buzzword of Christianity. Andy's calling from Kirkwood. Hi, Andy.
Hi, Ted. I'm going to jump on the Mormonism bandwagon there, and the reason is that the idea that the gospel is once again available, the idea that that which has been lost is again restored, sounds awfully Mormon.
Andy, thank you very much. So he's picking up on this idea of restoration. Although, let's be fair. I think Martin Luther could have said, at the time of the Reformation, the fullness of the gospel is once again available to the people. No Mormon he. Let's see what Mary has to say, who's calling from her car. Hi, Mary.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. Well, I don't really know enough about Mormonism. I've never talked to them to line up with the others, but I think I can eliminate R.C. Sproul because he's affiliated with the Presbyterian Church. They would never say God has a wonderful plan for your life just across the board because they believe in double predestination. So they would never just tell everybody, you know, God's got a great plan for your life.
That's a good point, Mary.
And also, they wouldn't just, I don't think that they would, speak of Jesus as Savior rather than just, you know, our best friend.
Okay, but so what is your guess if you eliminate something like Presbyterianism?
I don't have a clear-cut guess. I can just eliminate, I know that, it's more of a process of elimination for me.
So you're willing to say what it isn't, but it's hard for you to say what it is.
Yeah, it really is.
Fair enough. Mary, thank you very much. Nick's calling from St. Louis. Hi, Nick.
Hi. My guess is Mormons also. And I think the key is that he said that Jesus is our Father. And I don't think you'll hear a real Christian say that.
Okay, thank you very much, Nick. I don't know if he said Jesus is our Father. I think he said that Jesus loves us and we are his children. Although, you know, Christians make that confusion all the time, too. I heard it of all places, I think, on these airwaves when someone was praying, Heavenly Father, and then started talking about how you died for us on the cross. You know, we sometimes inadvertently misaddress our emails when we're praying. So, okay, I can understand what you're saying there, Nick. Thank you very much. Lots of votes for Mormons. Lots of vote for the Mormons. Bev is listening in St. Charles. Hi, Bev.
Oh, hi. Well, this is just a wild guess, but it could be Jehovah's Witness because they're always saying that there's a plan for your life.
So you hear that from the witnesses, too.
Yeah.
All right, Bev, thank you very much. Sounds like a lot of the knock-on-the-door solicitations are telling you that somebody has a wonderful plan for your life. Heck, when the Amway people used to walk the street in our neighborhood, they had the same message. Got a wonderful plan for your life, and it all looked like the flapping flag and lots of green money. It was a wonderful plan for our lives. The next thing you know, you got a garage full of...
soap.
Yeah, soap and unsold whatever it is Amway was selling. At the time, they were selling just about everything under the sun.
Well, this group is wrapped in the American flag and has a lot of money.
And it is an Amway-like multi-marketing, what do they call it, multi-level marketing? Multi-level marketing enterprise in a lot of ways. It's true. I'm going to give everybody just one more chance. You got to call in the next 10 seconds. Name that church body, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us issue ztc@kfuo.org. All right. Smartest listeners in radio, how many times do we say this? How long was that soundbite? 28 seconds? He mentions the word gospel, Jesus, love of God, wonderful plan for your life. Smartest listeners in radio. You're right, it's Mormon. In fact, this was Elder Russell Ballard. He's one of the leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. He was in an interview. In fact, with the balance of our time today, I think we're going to listen, stop, and start to this interview. It was just a little piece of his interview. Now, I want to point out something, though, before we stop, name that church body. It's hard to guess, isn't it? This could have been, really, truly, could have been a statement uttered by a spokesperson for just about any church body you're familiar with. I mean, the guesses here range from Jehovah's Witness to R.C. Sproul, with a lot of Mormonism in between. It was not that long ago that the president of Fuller Theological Seminary, one at one time the most influential seminary in the United States during the 80s and the early 90s, the home of the so-called church growth movement, seeker-sensitive movement. It was not that long ago that Richard Mao, the president of that seminary, went to Salt Lake City and he addressed the Mormons. And he apologized that Christians had failed to truly understand what Mormonism is really all about. Now, he didn't say that Mormons were Christians, but he talked a lot about how he and prominent evangelical and they have more in common than they have not in common. And people were shocked. And they said, how could a Christian man say this? How could a Christian man go to Mormons and say, you know, there's more that unites us than divides us, and I'm sorry that we've misrepresented you in all these years of Bible classes teaching what Mormons teach. Well, the Mormons applauded it, by the way. But how could a Christian man say such a thing? Think about it. What is Mormonism? Other than, how has it succeeded? How has it presented itself as Christian? By not defining terms like gospel, or who Jesus is, or the love of God, or that wonderful plan that God must have for everyone's life. By not defining it, by talking about it, but not defining it. What puzzles me more than anything is not the Mormons failing to define their terms. They have an interest in failing to define their terms because they want to fly under the radar as Christian. They want to be known as Christian when in fact they're not, if you look at their teachings. And actually, you'll hear it in just a minute when we play this interview with the elder Russell Ballard. It's a pretty honest interview. What puzzles me even more than that, I can understand why the Mormons do it. What I cannot understand is why Christians water down their language, fail to define things like the gospel, Jesus, deal with God in generic terms, especially in a culture that is more and more pluralistic with each passing day, more pluralistic than it has ever been in our nation's history. There is a whole movement, and I mentioned just a moment ago, kind of the church growth movement, the seeker-sensitive movement, that says in order to touch that culture and reach that culture, we've got to bring ourselves down to the level of that culture. Now, the Mormons do it because they're trying to deceive people, even unwittingly trying to deceive people as to what they really believe and who they really are. I cannot understand why Christians do it. I think they think, maybe, that they might reach a few by watering down the language, by sounding more generic. But in the increasingly religiously pluralistic culture, the church cannot afford to leave its terms undefined. You say gospel, and I'll tell you what, the culture won't be able to tell you from the Mormons. You say Jesus, and they'll say, same thing I heard from the Mormons when they knocked my door last week. You talk about the love of God or God's great plan for your life, and they're going to say, heck, why not Mormonism? They're offering me that. Let the Mormons do bait and switch. Okay, leave that to them. They have become masters at it. Let them sell their quote-unquote faith by how much better your lifestyle is going to be or how much better God's plan is going to be for your life. Leave that to the Mormons. Christians ought to define their terms and be crystal clear about who this Jesus is and what he has done for us, and not leave it at Jesus loves you and has a plan for your life. No, Jesus lived for you, and he died as the Son of God and as man in your place at the cross and rose again as the only Savior. We'll be right back.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Well, how's your devotional life these days? Do you struggle to find time for God's Word and prayer? Well, our Issues Etc. book for the month for June is a devotional resource titled Reading the Psalms with Luther. This book contains a brief introduction from Martin Luther, a psalm, and a short prayer. Reading the Psalms with Luther is published by Concordia Publishing House, their phone number 1-800-325-3040. Or you can read a synopsis of the book on our homepage, issuesetc.org. You'll find Christ at the center of Scripture in Reading the Psalms with Luther. The cost is $14.99 plus shipping and handling. 1-800-325-3040. Promise, comfort, guidance, challenge, confession, forgiveness, and of course, Christ. All in Reading the Psalms with Luther, our Issues Etc. book of the month for June. 1-800-325-3040 or issuesetc.org.
Could Adam get hurt before sin?
Answers with Ken Ham, one of the editors of The Answers magazine. Well, Ken, if there was no death, suffering, or bloodshed before Adam sinned, then what would have happened if he'd fallen and hit his head, for example?
You know, many people use this to try to undermine the Bible's teaching of no death before Adam sinned. They ask hypothetical questions like this to get people to doubt the Bible's teaching of no suffering, disease, or bloodshed before Adam fell. If they can get you to doubt that, then it can cause you to question the rest of Genesis and even the entire Bible. While looking through what I call our sin-colored glasses, it's hard to see how God maintained his perfect creation. It's sort of like looking at a white wedding dress through rose-colored glasses. The dress no longer looks white. In a similar way, we can't picture the perfect creation in the Garden of Eden because our glasses are tinted by our own experiences in a fallen world. You see, if God's able to create the entire universe and everything in it in just 6 days, then why wouldn't he be able to keep his creation free from harm? After all, God's power upheld Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from being harmed in the fiery furnace. Surely he could have also upheld a very good creation before sin.
More fascinating information about the Genesis account of creation and its reliability is found on our website, AnswersRadio.com. Read Ken Ham's booklet that explains why God allows death and suffering in this world.
We know that most of you listen to Issues, etc. during your commute home from work. We also realize that since you're still at work, you can't listen to the beginning of Issues, etc. Well, I have some good news for you. AM 850 KFUO rebroadcasts one of the earlier hours of Issues, etc. weekday evenings at 7. So instead of watching primetime TV, tune in to Issues, etc. again tonight at 7 right here on AM 850 KFUO. Dr. Peter Scare on how Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, is unique.
We take seriously the words of our Lord, you know, that we are to be called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. We are faithful to the Scriptures, and we are faithful to word and sacrament. We are both evangelical and Catholic. We are evangelical in that we believe the Word of God to be true, that we believe the Bible, and we're not going to back down from it. At the same time, we're Catholic. We recognize that this church has been around for 2,000 years. We also recognize that God is continuing to work through means, that he's working through the water of baptism, that he's working through the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So we take seriously our mission to be a light and salt to the earth.
For more information on Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, go to their website, ctsfw.edu, or call them at 1-800-481-2155. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. Thanks to everybody who played Name That Church Body. I must commend you again for being smartest listeners in radio. 28 seconds, and after 28 seconds of audio, they're guessing right. Mormonism. No doubt about it. If we had the ability to do it, I'd play Name That Church Body the way they used to play Name That Tune. And Name That Tune was, you know, I can name that tune in three notes. You remember that old game show? It was a great game show because you were automatically drawn in to play along. Whether you were interested or not, everyone was trying to name that tune. If we could do it, we probably could sometime if we really had a golden soundbite. Just play one, two, maybe a sentence. And play it sentence by sentence and see as it progressed who could name that church body. Well, that bite came from Elder Russell Ballard. He's one of the leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and he was interviewing a rather lengthy interview on NBC News. I'm going to play it here for you. So we can hear, beyond just that short sound bite, how he answered some honest questions, really rather honestly, about what Mormonism is, what Mormons believe, what they practice, what they view, how they view Christians. Are they Christian? He says, yes. But then he draws a lot of distinctions between Mormonism and Christianity. And then some questions about Mitt Romney, who, of course, is the former governor of Massachusetts, a Mormon who is running for president and apparently doing very, very well at it. the only obstacle to his candidacy really seems to be the fact that he's a Mormon. This audio comes from NBC News. It's Elder Russell Ballard, one of the leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, or email us, issuesetc@kfuo.org. Love to hear your reactions to this.
When you were trying to explain to someone what your faith is in as basic and simple a way, what do you say to them?
Our answer is that the church that the Lord Jesus Christ established in his day, we believe, ultimately was lost and had to be brought back to the earth again. We believe it has been brought back. There has been a restoration. There are prophets and apostles on the earth again. And that the fullness of the gospel is once again here for the people. That, in a nutshell, would be our message. It's absolutely centered in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is everything to us, and we are the sons and daughters of God. We are his children. He loves us, and he has a great plan for us.
That is one of the central arguments of whether some would consider this your religion not to be Christian, but clearly you insist that you are.
Absolutely. There is no organization more centered in Christ on the earth than the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. That's the very, it's in our name. I mean, that's the center of our faith and the center of our belief. So anyone that would say we're not Christian simply don't understand the basis and the premise under which the church has gone forward into the world.
Now, you got to understand this, and let's be as charitable as we can with Russell Ballard, one of the elders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. When, and I think in his case, and this will be evident in the rest of the audio you hear, in his case, when answering the question, are you Christian, it must be viewed in light of, his answer must be viewed in light of his previous answer. He said that the church established by Jesus Christ in his day disappeared, only to be restored, I'm filling in a few of the gaps, only to be restored when Joseph Smith received his revelation of the Book of Mormon from God, and then it's all been restored. Now, if, from the Mormons' perspective, they believe themselves to be Christian, really, truly Christian. The rest of us are not. You see, the rest of us who are still following what is essentially apostate Christianity are not Christian. I used to think a good question to ask a Mormon when they come to the door is, are you Christian? Because old-school Mormons would have said, no, we're Latter-day Saints. Well, they've grown more savvy in the last few decades, and now they're answering that question, yes, we are. I've changed my mind. Not on whether or not Mormons are Christians. I've changed my mind on the question you ought to ask. What you should ask is two questions. Are you a Christian? And they'll say, yes. Second question is, am I? That's the more important question. I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior from sin. I believe that he is the second person of the Trinity. There's already a problem with Mormonism there, by the way. Second person of the Trinity who took on human flesh in the womb of the Virgin Mary and lived a perfect life and died a perfect death as my substitute for sin and the sins of all the world. And by his one sacrifice, God has redeemed this whole creation from sin and death and the power of the devil. Am I a Christian? That's the question to ask your Mormon friend. In fact, you could go on to say, I continue to believe what it is the church has always historically taught about Jesus Christ. And you could talk about, a good reference point would be the creeds. Again, ask your Mormon friend, am I a Christian? You see, you can ask anybody, are you a Christian? And they'll tell you, yes, if they think they're a Christian. The real question is, and the way to discover what they think being Christian means, is to ask the question, am I a Christian? See, Russell Ballard can say he's a Christian because he thinks he is. But what he means by Christian is the restored church through Joseph Smith after the Book of Mormon. So that's why you have to ask him, am I a Christian? Because I reject that second revelation of Jesus Christ. I reject that whole idea that the church was restored in Joseph Smith's prophecy. Am I a Christian? Next time they come to the door, those are really the only two questions. You could spend 20 minutes with them on those two questions. I'll be honest with you. The last time the Mormons came to my door, I think I blew it because I spent all the time trying to examine whether they thought they were Christians. And when they left, I realized, of course they think they're Christians. They think they're Christians, and they think I'm not. And if they say you're, if they say when you profess your faith in Jesus Christ, your creedal faith in Jesus Christ, and you say, am I a Christian? They say, yes. Then say, then why are you here at my door? Aren't you preaching to the choir? I guess that's three questions, isn't it? 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. No, we don't get to define Christian on our own terms. None of us do. If Mormons are Christians, then really anyone could call themselves a Christian on their own terms.
One of the marvelous things that we have for the world is a clarification of where we came from before we were born here, why we're here, and what our objective is in life after this one. And we have some marvelous insights to that because of the restoration. We just simply say to the world, let us explain to you what God has revealed in this day and time through a prophet.
Do you welcome the spotlight that has come with Governor Romney's campaign? And obviously, people like myself would not be here probably asking you these questions were it not for that. Do you welcome that spotlight, or would you prefer that your church go about its business as it normally does without all this scrutiny and perhaps intrusion?
Well, I would say we welcome the opportunity at any time to be able to explain to the world who we are and what has happened. In fact, we have 54,000 of our young people that are serving all over the world. They pay their own expenses, that is, they and their families. They knock on doors, they visit with people trying to explain the message of the restoration. And so the opportunity for us to be able to talk to people like you and others of the media and explain our position and what it is we have for the world, I think it's a very healthy thing, and it's a good thing for us.
In a social or public policy context, and I know there's a separation, what does the church stand for, or what does the church support? What kinds of issues does the church champion in a political social context? You mentioned family, on issues of life, on issues of of other things.
Our primary concern, of course, are values, and we're very concerned about moral issues. Anything that is going on in the country or in a city or a state where we have representation that is destructive to the spiritual nurturing and strength of our Heavenly Father's children, we worry about. We don't worry about all of the administrative worries out there, but we are greatly worried about what is happening, particularly to our youth. We think the youth of the world, and particularly we work very hard in trying to teach our own children who they are, that they are children of God, and they are very precious, and they have an eternal destiny. And this life is a time to learn how to live properly and be in harmony with the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I hear this. Did you hear what he just said? They really want to focus on young people and the youth and our children and teach them that they are children of God. Now, remember, when Mormons say that, they don't mean the universal fatherhood of God in the liberal sense, and they don't mean we are children of God made so through his son, Jesus Christ, and his sacrifice for us at the cross. They mean you are a pre-existing spirit baby in heaven that God gave birth to from eternity. And then you were given a body here in your time of kind of probation. He said this life is the time for us to learn how to live according to the dictates of Jesus Christ. And that's all in preparation from the Mormon point of view for what comes in the next life, which is deification, godhood. This is your time to kind of get started following Jesus' example, so that when you get to whatever heaven it is you have earned by your life of good deeds, you can continue the process of becoming a God yourself. Then you can have your spirit babies, your own universe and planets, and start it all over again. And I joke not. I joke not. Now, but I'm listening to this, and see, I know what the Mormons mean by this. I can hear the code, and so can you, if you know what Mormons believe. But I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking to myself, the average person's going to hear this, you're children of God, God loves you, has a wonderful plan for your life, this is a life, our life is this time to learn how to live according to the dictates of Jesus Christ, and they're going to think, sounds Christian to me. Why? Is it because, first and foremost, they don't know the Mormon code? No. It's because that's what they're hearing from their own Christian pastor. Something like soft serve Mormonism. I've told the story and I'll tell it again. One of our colleagues here at the station has a relative of some sort who's a Mormon. And when Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, came out, at a family gathering, he was talking up the benefits of this Mormon relative was talking up the benefits of Rick Warren's Purpose-Driven Life, and he was telling all of his relatives, if you want to know what we Mormons believe, read this book. This is what we Mormons believe. And again, I ask, why are the Mormons being more clear and honest about who they are and what they believe than Christians are? Why are Christians being less clear about who they are, less honest about who they are and what they believe than the Mormons? Let's go to the phones, see what Ann in Crestwood has to say. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Todd. Well, I have a sister who's in a cult, and she's a monk in this cult. And when I first walked and talked with her about it, I had her defining terms for me, justification and ascension, which we're involved in this thing she's in. And I think if those people came to my door again, which they used to come quite regularly, I would have them defining terms as what you're doing now rather than, I know you said asking them if they're a Christian, but I would have to ask them, well, who is Jesus Christ to you? What does that mean in their terminology? Because it is obviously a different Jesus that they're going to describe, and I know they want to find they're going to probably recite things rote, and because they've done it before here in my home, but I just would want terms with definitions behind those, and then you see the difference there and can maybe approach them that way? I don't know.
I think we're on the same page, Anne. What the strategy that I'm suggesting is to, when they say, hey, we believe in Jesus too. I made this error when the Mormons went to my door one time, and I said, look, I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation for all men, and that way of salvation is his own perfect life, death and resurrection for me as a substitute. I said something along those lines. And both of the guys looked at me with kind of a bored look and said, well, that's what we believe too. And I realized I had to press a lot harder and with a lot more specificity into all of those things. And that's where we're on the same page, Anne. It's about the definition of terms. With a lot more specificity until they started to say, no, that's not what we believe. One place I did find where they were willing to go to the mat, and they would have wrestled me to the ground if they wouldn't have been so polite and kind, is over Joseph Smith. In fact, that's what they really wanted to talk about was Joseph Smith. Steve calls from West County. Hi, Steve.
Hi. I'm going to kind of chime along. It occurred to me, and I was thinking about this for some time, I think that if I was going to ask a Mormon missionary two questions, I would ask them two simple questions. A, what is man's basic problem? And B, what is the solution for that basic problem? And if their basic problem it deviates from that we are sinful and alienated from God, and the solution is found in what Christ did, if it deviates from that, then we know where they're coming from.
I think you're right, Steve. Now, and thank you very much. I think we need to remember that Christians who are well-taught and well-versed in God's Word should know where the Mormons are coming from already. We should know where they're coming from. Now, I think the goal of the encounter with the Mormons is not so much to discover where they're coming from, but to clearly explain to them where you're coming from. And take what I'm going to say here carefully. It's not even to point out the differences between Orthodox Christianity and Mormonism. You see, the average elder who comes to your door is convinced that he's a Christian. And he is convinced because he has his testimony. The Holy Spirit's told him he's really a Christian. He really, really wants to believe the truth. He's read the Book of Mormon, and he believes the Holy Spirit has spoken to him and told him that the Book of Mormon is true. And he'll encourage you to do that, by the way. He'll say, read the Book of Mormon. One of the good things you might do is say, hey, I'll take your Book of Mormon, and I'll read it, and go and do it. And then when they come back the next week, say, I read it. And the Holy Spirit told me it isn't true because there are too many places where it contradicts Scripture. And their next step will be to tell you that Scripture is wrong. See, now you know where they really stand. But the goal here is to show them where you stand and show them that their hope in their Jesus is a false hope because it's a false Jesus, so that they might see the true Jesus and the true hope that he gives. You want my opinion on this? Within 20 years, no more. Many of the major denominations, and I think probably leading the way will be the broad swath of non-denominational evangelicalism as represented by institutions like the Fuller Theological Seminary. Many of them will have dropped the idea that Mormons aren't Christian. They will accept Mormons as simply another brand of Christianity, as another denomination of Christianity, and they'll do it openly. Within 20 years, no more. And it's not going to be due to the whiz-bang marketing that the Mormons have been doing. It's not going to be due to the fact that they're that clever at deceiving us. It will be due to the fact that the Christianity being professed in many of those churches that I just talked about will be indistinguishable from Mormonism. What will happen within 20 years, many of those churches will be by default Mormon, even though they won't buy into some of the kooky stuff that the Mormons believe. They'll be soft-serve Mormons. They'll be the kind of Mormons who say, yeah, this life really is just that time to learn how to imitate Jesus so that we can follow him to being gods ourselves. It will be Jesus as example rather than Jesus as Savior. What am I talking about? That's already the case in many of these churches. It is. I think it was the famous saying here applies. When we refuse to believe the truth, the danger isn't that we will believe nothing. The danger is that we'll believe anything. And Mormonism, when you're willing to believe anything, Mormonism does as well as just about anything else, doesn't it? Plus, it has the facade of the American flag, family values on its side, and a track record of happy people, which is really kind of all the more that Pop American Christianity is offering people nowadays. The facade of the American flag, family values, and truckloads of happy people. What's missing from both? Jesus, the real Jesus, the crucified and risen Jesus, the Jesus who comes to save sinners, and not just to give you an example to follow during your probationary period, after which you can expect some sort of great reward for your good deeds. Let's get in a few more minutes of Elder Russell Ballard, one of the leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Let me ask you one of the tougher questions, which you handle all the time, obviously. Some critics of the church who think that some of your doctrine is cultish, to borrow a phrase, for example. One simple thing that I can get my head around that most people could is the Bible. Mm-hmm. And most Christians, I think, would believe that the Bible is the beginning and the ending. Mm-hmm. But your church goes further.
Right.
First of all, it must pain you when people criticize you in that manner and dismiss your church as being something that is cultish or out there, if you will. How do you respond to that, and how do you explain why you think that there is more to that particular part of the faith, the Bible, than what's there for most Christians?
Well, our position is that we believe the Bible is the Word of God. We use the Bible. But we also believe that the Bible, in its process of translation and its process of evolving into what we currently have, we use the King James Version of the Bible. And it's a great thing that Revelation is still alive. We don't believe that anyone on the earth has the right to say to God, "You cannot talk to us anymore." What's in the Bible is all you're ever going to have. We don't believe that's within the jurisdiction of His children to do that. And so we have the Book of Mormon, and the Book of Mormon is the dealings of our Heavenly Father's with His children that lived in the Americas. And there's some clarification doctrinally. Now, it's one of the reasons we get the people think we're a cult is that in the early days of the church practiced polygamy.
Now, he goes on to talk about polygamy. Maybe if time permits, we might continue this sometime later in the week, but our time runs short. I got a question to answer and then something to say here first, and that is, look, let's not die on the hill of, is Mormonism a cult? Sociologically, it is no longer a cult, except for those groups like Warren Jeff's group out in Utah. Sociologically, it's not a cult. Theologically, yes, of course it is, but people don't think cult when they think cult. It's a false religion. It's a false Christ. It's kind of a real big fat heresy. And heresy is false teaching. That's all the more we really need to say about it. Now, one of our listeners called him, couldn't stay on the air, and asked about the question of do Mormons believe in hell, or what do they believe about hell? And I'll put it in a nutshell as quickly as I can. If you're a Mormon, a true Mormon, and you fall away or renounce the faith, you will spend your eternity in outer darkness. That's as close as I think they get to hell. But if you're like me, kind of one of those Christians before the Restoration, they wouldn't say I'm a Christian. Well, you're going to go to the kind of the basement of heaven and get your opportunity through more good works, proving yourself, to work your way up to the penthouse. It's going to take you a long time, but you might be able to do it. Provided after you die, someone baptizes you into the Mormon faith, or I think you can also convert after you die to Mormonism. The real concern here, why are the Mormons being more clear and honest about who they are and what they believe than Christians? Why are Christians being less clear and honest about who they are and what they believe than the Mormons? As I said before, leave the bait and switch to the Mormons. We can be clear and honest and forthright and bold in proclaiming Christ crucified. LCMS World Relief underwrites issues, etc. Find out more about them at our website, issuesetc.org, or give them a call, 1-888-930-4438, 1-888-930-4438. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Issues, etc. Issues, etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172. For a free audio copy of this hour of Issues, etc., please visit the audio archive section at KFUO.org. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of AM 850 KFUO. Issues, etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.